true submission means that it might not turn out the way that you think it should. You might not get the miracle that you prayed for, because at the end of the day, it's not about you and what you want. It's about what furthers His kingdom.
Welcome to the Storytellers Live podcast, where everyday women share stories of hope found in Jesus. I'm Robin, and I am here with Lindy and Katie, and we are your podcast hosts. Today, we are bringing you a story from Jane Burns from Montgomery that I really connected with and appreciated her honesty in parenting a child with special needs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Robin, listening to her story, while it is one about submitting to God's plan for your life and for the life of your child, it's also, to me, honestly, one of God's sustenance. You know, we hear a lot of our storytellers say that this isn't my story, it's God's story. And Jane really reminds us of this over and over again as she kind of tells us about the health complications her son Langston faced after being born. But her story also encourages us to know that without a doubt, no matter what you're going through, God can and will sustain you. I hope her story encourages you wherever you are in your walk today.
And before Jane's story, we want to give one final thank you to Jen Louthan Interiors and Sarah Beth Hagler Jewelry, who both sponsored the Stories of Hope Luncheon 2 weeks ago. And we could not have had a better event. The Lord was in the room. We just got to celebrate everything that God has done through the Storytellers Live Ministry. We have linked both of these businesses in our show notes. Please go to Sarah Beth Hagler Jewelry on Instagram and you will see beautiful pieces. And she would love to connect with you and help you find the perfect piece of jewelry. And then also Jen Louthan Interiors. Jen is so creative and she meets you wherever you are in your creative process in your home, and she does phenomenal work. So check out Jen Louthan Interiors at jenlouthan.com, JenLouthan.com. Here's Jane.
My name is Jane Burns. I live here in Montgomery with my husband, Brandon Burns, and our little boy, Langston, who is 10 years old. This is a wonderful story about how our Heavenly Father turned our world upside down. He ripped me out of my comfort zone and allowed us to be thrown into an unfamiliar world that we continue to traverse to this very day. And He allowed it, all of it, because He so very deeply loves us. And He knows what's best. This particular journey changed the trajectory of my faith and my life. I have been a Christian all my life, as far back as I can remember. I've gone to church. I will go to work in the morning. When I worked at Jackson Hospital before I had Langston, I would show up early every day and I would do my quiet time. I was knee deep in it. I knew God had great things. I'm also a control freak. I don't like change. I hate it. I loathe it. And it's little changes that bother me. Big changes I actually tend to handle well. And I think that's because I just live in shock and denial, which is a story for another day. But I knew that motherhood brings about change. Anybody that's a parent knows it's a change regardless. But man, I had no clue what God had in store for this journey of parenthood. On November 18th of 2013, at 7:30 a.m., I gave birth to a 3-pound 14-ounce, 17.5-inch long, beautiful baby boy. He was almost 3 weeks early. I had had some pregnancy complications towards the end, and I actually went into labor early, which was a blessing. And the whole story really started with the doctor coming in and saying, "I'm sorry, you can't have an epidural." And it just, I don't want to be negative and say it went downhill from there. That was the first boomerang that got thrown, and it just kind of continued. But God knows that I love a good story, and I really love to make sarcasm out of the difficulties. So I've continued to do that, and we'll do so again here tonight. He was born at 7:30. Shortly afterwards, I would say probably around lunchtime or a little before that day. It was a Monday. We had a pediatric cardiologist in the delivery room. He consulted with us, and this kind, faithful man, who is Dr. Gonzalez, and would actually be our son's pediatric cardiologist from there on out, informed us that our precious newborn baby had a very serious congenital heart defect that would require surgery in the first 3 months in order for him to sustain life. Sustain life is probably the phrase that sticks out the most to this day. I'll never forget the feeling of being overwhelmed by grief, confusion, physical pain, and all-encompassing fear. But God had more in store for us. Once the cardiologist left the room, my husband and I, we held each other. We cried, which my husband's not a big crier, but and then he left the room to go get some air. Because that was probably what was best in that moment. And I sat in the bed by myself as I cried and the shock of the news began to sink in. I closed my eyes in the middle of all that chaos to try to sort it out. And I prayed the most important prayer of my life to date. Lord, I can't do this. I have absolutely no control. There wasn't an amount of power or money that was going to fix it. So I prostrated myself not only before my Heavenly Father, but I also laid down the life of my son before his throne. My godmother, my fairy godmother, who is here tonight, has always said that children, whether biological or adopted, are not ours to begin with. They belong to the Lord first. And that's easy to say when everything is smooth and going wonderful, but it's a much bigger pill to swallow when you're faced with the realities of life and death. That beautiful reminder has resonated with me still. He was never ours to begin with. And as I finished my prayer, I heard him. I heard him audibly speak to me, not just in my spirit, but I heard him with my ears. It was as if it were just him and me on that bed. It felt like warm air pouring from the top of my head, filling this vessel of flesh and bones all the way to my toes. Every worry and every care lifted freely, as if the chains of reality had been loosened and the streams of glory took their place. And in the midst of the weightlessness, he gently but firmly whispered to me, "If you give this to me, I will take care of you. But first you must let go." That was truly the moment of living in the before and the after. I was briefly suspended in the in-between, in the turning point, if you will. And what I chose to do after that moment would alter my perspective on how I viewed a life well lived from here on out. Our life verse for Langston has always been Exodus 14:14. But it's the verse before that that really sets the tone. Exodus 14:13-14 reads, "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.'" I knew that submission meant many things. What it didn't mean was a life of free from health problems and trials. It meant that it might be God's will is to call our son back to heaven. And what I truly desired was that my submission looked like bending to the will of God, no matter what the outcome is. It's very easy to praise him when, even if our son lives and has all these health problems, at least he's alive. But true submission means that it might not turn out the way that you think it should. You might not get the miracle that you prayed for. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you and what you want. It's about what furthers his kingdom. And who am I to question what's best for God's kingdom? Now, it's important for me to say that I am human. I put my pants on one leg at a time, like everybody else. Dealing with these circumstances is the way that we have is not because I'm this super spiritual person. I'm a very flawed human. I have said four-letter words before, also said them to my Lord and Savior, but I'm thankful for grace and mercy. I truly desire that my submission look like bending to the will of God, no matter the outcome. It's something that I continue to pray for to this very day, every morning when I wake up. I don't know what the day is going to hold, but I just pray that I can be submissive. Sometimes it means I'm kicking and screaming, but I want to be submissive to the Lord. Our precious Jesus has carried us through many a trial since that fateful day that our son was born. We would go on to transfer to three other hospitals after the one that he was born at. And in doing so, we would find that Langston had multiple complex congenital heart defects that would require palliative intervention throughout his life. A lot of the times we hear the word palliative and it refers to end-of-life care or hospice care. Palliative is also a word they use in the congenital heart community because everything that you do for the child from that point on is to help them be comfortable. It's to help them stay alive, to survive, because nothing that we do on this side of heaven will fix the heart that he was born with. Physically, he will never be whole on the side of the gates of heaven. And our job as his parents are to steward him in the best way possible and give him the life that he so wonderfully deserves. Because our Father has allowed him to still be here now. I'm careful in saying that we're blessed because just because our kid got to live doesn't mean that God loves us more. Just because your kids are healthy doesn't mean that God loves you more. God loves us all the same. It's important that we take the individual stories that he's given us and use them for his glory. And sometimes those stories might be sadder than the person next door. As we continue to learn about his different heart defects, we would have surgery at 3 weeks old, his first open heart surgery. This was a temporary fix in order to bridge him to his big repair. They would send him home with us for a year in order for him to grow, gain weight because he was very small, so that he could have what they referred to as his big repair. They basically sent a child home who should still be in the ICU with us to live at our house at our address. At 6512. And we're not nurses. I don't have a medical degree, contrary to what you may hear out of my mouth. But I do play one on TV when I watch Grey's Anatomy. He came home with a scale, a feeding pump, because he had to have a G-tube before he left, because he didn't take any nutrition in my mouth, a pulse oximeter. His regular oxygen levels were low. They were between 80 to 85, which was normal for him at the time, because his heart still wasn't fixed. And I mean, they just sent us home with a ticking time bomb, basically. And we had a nurse practitioner call us every week from Children's for a solid year to get his weight and his heart rate and his oxygen. It was a balance, if you will. If he gained too much weight, that meant he was in congestive heart failure. If he didn't gain enough weight, that meant he was failure to thrive and we needed to bring him in. And I lost so much hair and so much weight in that period. I mean, I looked really good, but it was not much. He was on toothbeats 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I took him off long enough to bathe him. His body just couldn't digest food because his heart had not been repaired. And we did that for a year. That was fun. I look back and I think I really had the experience of a mom with a newborn in that I didn't sleep. It just carried on a lot longer and required a lot more. He has a very rare chromosomal abnormality genetic condition, which is the cause of his clinical heart issues. But it also affects other organ systems, as well as his cognitive, gross motor, and fine motor development. He started therapy while he was in the hospital at Children's when he was just several weeks old after his first open heart surgery. He has continued that therapy for the last 10 years. We get speech, OT, and physical therapy. We do it on an outpatient basis. He is also in a special education, self-contained classroom here at a school in Montgomery where he receives PT, OT, and speech as his resources there. We love our special education classroom. He does get to integrate with his typical peers. It has been a wonderful thing for him because he's extremely social. I like to think that he gets that from me. And he's really thrived in that environment. Some of the things that hold us back occasionally are during COVID, we had to keep him home for almost 2 years. So I spent that first year with him as an infant in between heart surgeries at home with him. I would go to church or my husband and I would tag team, but he couldn't be around other children or other people because of germs. And then COVID just kind of brought that all back to the surface. So all of his first grade year, half of his kindergarten year, and half of his second grade year, he spent at home with me. Until things got better and, you know, we chose to get him vaccinated just because his heart was just, it's a hodgepodge of worries for us in that he's been intubated a multitude of times for some big surgeries, some general surgeries. We've had tubes in our ears more times than there are Smiths in a phone book. And so we just, it's a coin toss up on what would be best. So I stayed at home with him when we did school 4 hours a day. And my husband had a night job at the time and he worked 60 hours a week and we never saw each other and we never went anywhere. And our marriage just really grew. And my husband decided to quit smoking, which is a praise. He never smoked in the house, but it was a fun time for him to make that health choice when we had no contact with the outside world. And we only got to see each other. We lived and we survived through COVID. And I'm very thankful for a wonderful partner. God gave me a partner who is full of humor and inappropriate jokes, especially in front of physicians, who just absolutely balances me out because, you know, this is very high anxiety for me. I control none of this situation, and none of us do really. And I think that we know that, but to live it is a completely different story. This story with Langston has revealed a new diagnosis, I want to say almost every year. Obviously, because he has a genetic condition, it affects him globally. So there are multiple organ systems involved, from obviously his heart, his low muscle tone. He wears ankle braces. He has glasses. We talked about his ears. And in 2018, he was diagnosed with seizures. Now, it took about 6 months for them to diagnose him. And I've tried to not go into too many details about the different diagnoses, but this was important to me in that God has allowed it to come off in layers. All these diagnoses didn't hit us at once as soon as he was born. And I'm thankful for that because I don't think that I would have stood up under the weight of all of these things coming at once. It's just impossible. In 2018, when he started having what we Southerners like to call episodes, they progressed into what would ultimately be diagnosed as complex partial seizures or focal onset impaired awareness seizures. I said, this had to be a mistake, right? Because you can't possibly have a child with a brain and a heart issue. That's two really important organs. And that just doesn't seem fair. Well, life is not fair. You know, it was too much, but you can have more than several issues at a time because we live in a fallen world. And this world is not our home. This is not where we belong. We belong in a much better place that God has created for us. So to know that we get to exist here and shine his light in the hopes that we can bring others into the fold with us when we go, and that he has tasked us with doing that, is the biggest and greatest pleasure of our lives. It's an honor, really. I share this as a beautiful example of the Lord's infinite wisdom, because he sees the bigger picture that we cannot. The same summer that Langston was diagnosed with seizures is the exact same summer that he had his G-tube removed. The hole surgically closed because he was now, after more than 4 years, intaking all nutrition, liquid, and medication by mouth. I had made some semblance of peace with the dreaded G-tube, and that we would more than likely have it for the rest of his life. But with growth and lots of therapy and persistence, he had it removed. God allowed a huge, what seemed to be impossible praise to happen amidst a new, unexpected, frightening diagnosis. And I will never, ever take that for granted. I will never, ever forget that although one thing was removed and a new diagnosis seemingly took its place, that all this didn't happen at once. And he had the mercy and grace to know that the story would unfold the way it has. We're very quick to hear people often say that God won't give you more than you can handle. And that is a lie. That is an absolute lie. I don't know who made it up. I don't know if they had good intentions when they made it up, but it is a lie. He will give you more than you can handle. Absolutely. As a human, you will be allowed more than you can handle. But he will absolutely be there for you so that when it comes your way and you get through it, you know that it was only by his grace that you made it on the other side. The Bible says that he will not tempt you beyond what you can bear, but it doesn't say that he will give you more than you can handle. I'm sitting in this chair to tell you that right now. We also found out during this time of seizure diagnosis through a sedated MRI during his admission in the epilepsy monitoring unit that Langston had had a stroke at some point. We don't know when this particular CVA occurred because the images showed that it was an old infarct. But since he'd already been in therapy for his developmental issues, we were already addressing his symptoms and clinical issues and manifestations since the stroke had happened. So we were already taking care of these problems that we just assumed were part of how God made him. So there wasn't anything really new to address after that. But it is good to know that your child has had a stroke, just so you can have that in their medical history. And it was quite a surprise when we found it out. I realize that this is a lot of overwhelming, convoluted medical jargon. Not that you aren't all very intelligent, but I think it's important to describe it how it happened, because this is how we lived it. It's imperative to share some of the complex details so that you understand that who our son is on paper doesn't by any standard match who that beautiful, happy, loving boy is in person. His joy for life and heart of worship are a direct reflection of the unique heart that the Lord gave him. He's a very happy kid who absolutely loves people. He loves to meet new people. He loves to hug and kiss. That is 100% my fault. So if you have boundary issues, steer clear. We have that in my house. Very full frontal with our hugs. We call them thunder hugs. Langston will require more heart surgeries in his future. In fact, he was supposed to have another one by the time that he was 10 years old. They did his full repair at 14 months, and they replaced his pulmonary valve with a conduit and a homograft, which means it came from a human donor. With science the way it is right now, a valve cannot grow with children yet. Like, you know, you can put a valve in an adult and it can last 15, 20 years as long as they don't get sick. With a child, that's not the case. So the native pulmonary valve he was born with was never going to do the job. So they replaced it. They said, like I said, they said he would require surgery at 10 years. We went back to our cardiologist in September. He said, everything looks great. Nothing has changed since the surgery in January of 2015. We go back in September of this year. We continue to follow up annually. My child does not require any heart medicine at this time. He has not been on Lasix or anything to help his heart pump. The only medication that he requires on a daily basis are to control his seizures. We take some asthma medicine because we live in Alabama and hashtag this is us. But it's a miracle that he's made it this far without any surgical intervention. Even the cardiologist told me that, even though they said, you know, it would require by the time he was 10 and because of his growth, he said valves just don't normally last this long. They wear down after time. And he's just kept on trucking. And I know there will come a day when that's not the case, but I want to make sure that I praise God for the time that we've had and how happy and healthy he's been and how he continues to thrive. We're 3 months past 10 years and with no immediate surgery needed. The reality of living with a child whose heart will never be physically whole this side of heaven can be very, very heavy. We live a very isolated life. Our parenthood is very, very unique. We've grieved a lot of things the last 10 years. Not just selfishly. I mean, yeah, we won't be part of all our teams. We won't do travel ball. He doesn't really spend the night away from home. It's hard for me to leave him for any amount of time. We've maybe been on two trips overnight where we've left him. Although we have people we love and trust, I have a really hard time not soaking up every single second because I know that we live on borrowed time and we all live on borrowed time. Tomorrow isn't promised, but I think when you're faced with that reality so heavily, I like to think that maybe I appreciate it and I don't take it for granted. Fortunately, we aren't tasked with carrying this yoke alone. The Lord is our stronghold and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Nahum 1:7. This isn't my story. This isn't Langston's story. And this isn't Brandon, my husband's story. This is God's story. This is our Savior's story. And we pray each and every day that we shine His light and do the work for His kingdom. All glory and honor and power and praise be to Him forever and ever. Amen. My world has very much stayed the same since November the 18th, 2013. I think we all experience trauma because that's what it is. You live in the before and the after. I remember what life was like before, but I would never want to know a world that's not the after. We have a beautiful village. I'm grateful for that. Not everybody has the support system. Some of those people are in this very room. My mom is here. My friends from church. My fairy godmother, who I've watched this woman. She moved with me to Birmingham while Langston lived there. We lived in the UAB townhouses on a floor that was sponsored by the Alabama Baptist Association. It was a lovely room that was apparently decorated by the Golden Girls. So we brought blankets and covered the furniture and removed any wicker pieces that caused us distress. And we lived there and walked 4 blocks a day back and forth to Children's Hospital. I've watched her sleep through 2 codes. Literally, she can sleep sitting up like a conehead. Just, you need anything? No, I'm good. Okay, just let me know if you need me. God has put all these beautiful people in our life. My mom comes on the weekends to help take care of our son, and I'm very thankful for that because it is quite the job. This life is beautiful, but I hope it's okay that I say sometimes it sucks. It's tough. God is good. The world is not. We live in a fallen world. This didn't happen to my son because of anything that I did. This didn't happen because of any sin that was committed. This happened because we are broken. And in our brokenness, I pray that we seek to find the peace and wholeness that can only be found in Jesus. That is my personal story. So I know that I can say that. Our unique parenthood experience and routine has opened our eyes to the life of living with a child who has unique abilities, different abilities. I'm very thankful for it. I feel like the veil was torn and I don't ever want it covered up again because I will never be the same and I don't ever want to be the same. And and my husband says we've learned to be brave for our child, which in turn helps us understand what our Heavenly Father tells us about being brave and to not be fearful. I don't think you have to have a child to understand God's true love and relationship. Let me be clear. But I do think that I had to become this mother in order to walk this walk with my Savior. When I think about hearing Him speak to me, I want to be clear. I've never heard anything like it before. I don't know if I ever will again. What He gave me that day carried me for a decade. I reference it often when I feel lost and isolated and lonely. When it seems like life isn't fair, or why isn't my kid? Why do these things keep happening? And I just hear God whispering about you, Jane. This has never been about you. This is about my kingdom and glory. We're here to help create the world for our child, a safe, happy, loving environment for his needs, because he does not exist in a world that bends to his handicaps. And that's okay. We don't expect the world to, but we will. And it may isolate us. It may keep us from social events. It may keep us from being the cool kids, but you know, we're very cool. I am so cool. My husband makes me really cool, actually, but I'm very thankful for the life that he has given us. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and slept and awaked, for the Lord sustained, he sustained me.
We hear a lot of stories. We have heard a lot of stories over almost 7 years. But I felt like Jane said some things today that we have not heard before. And I really appreciated her honesty of just saying, you know what? This is not easy. The Lord has given me more than I can handle. And yet I'm trusting him. You know, she said, none of us are in control, but to be forced to live it out is a very different story. And I think seeing her share the story from her perspective of literally giving it up every single day. They do not live an easy life.
Right.
You know, she explained they can't go out to dinner. They can't do all these things. Mm-hmm. And yet the Lord provides for their every need and sustains them every single day.
Yeah, she touched a lot on that at the end of her story, you know, as well. I mean, I think for me too, it's just this whole concept of sorrow and suffering and loss of control really just takes your faith to another level. And none of us want to go through that. We don't want our children to go through that or our friends to go through that. But that is really what takes you to that level of faith with God, where it's just you and him. And it's where you really just have to dig into, okay, God, I believe in you. Do I believe you? And you rest in his truth.
That's so true, Katie. And that's what spoke to me when she, at the end, kind of wrapped up everything with just talking about that true submission. Because true submission doesn't know the outcome. We can say, I'm laying this at your feet. Mm-hmm. But only if you do this.
Right.
But true submission does not know the outcome. And she just mentioned that really sweet space of, it was just me and the Lord. And isn't that what we're all striving for?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. I did want to just give nod to her husband, who said he can sit in my lap until he's 30. And just how he was the protector of their marriage, the Lord protected their marriage, and really just seeing God work in those details.
When I was listening to this, a memory came back to me from a few years ago where we were going through a hard time and probably a lot of surgeries with our daughter. And I remember saying, I would not be so rattled if I just knew this was going to be okay. Yes. And she kind of
looked, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be everybody's
like,
life?
Yeah. Don't we all feel that way? But it was like such a true outpouring of my heart to say it out loud. And now we can all kind of laugh about it because, yeah, don't we all wish that? But at the time, I really felt so unsettled that I thought the only way this is going to get better if I know how it's going to end.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of something in my head right now that I'm praying over, that I am thinking that exact same thing, that if I just knew the end of this, I'd be okay. So God, just tell me what's going to happen 5 years from now and make sure it's good.
Right. Exactly. But the Lord keeps saying, I know the end.
That's right. And trust
he
me.
He knows the
and
end.
And it's for your good.
It is.
And it's for my glory.
That's right.
So that's really where that rest comes in.
You're exactly right. At the very end, after Jane's story, the room sat around and asked questions. And I just want to share this one thing that was discussed before we wrap up Jane's story, because it really has stuck with me. Jane talked about praying for healing for her son when he was born, and she talked about absolutely believing that God can heal her son. But what happens if he doesn't? How does she pray? And a friend in the room asked her, how have your prayers changed your questions? And I just thought that was so profound, that still believing in healing, still believing God does that today, but also how have your prayers changed as your son has gone from a newborn to 10 years old? And so that's something I would like to challenge all of us today is, as life changes, as circumstances change, how have your prayers changed? I think that's a really important thing to think on.
I'm so thankful for Jane's story and just the reminders that she gave us. And we just want to tell you guys, we know that Easter Sunday is coming up this Sunday, and we just wish you the happiest of Resurrection Sundays that there is. We hope that you spend wonderful time, not only with your family and friends, but just sitting still before the Lord and just thanking him for the gift of his life, and most importantly, the gift of his death and his resurrection and what it means to us.
And we are so glad that you joined us today. And we would just encourage you to help us broaden the reach of this podcast. And you can do that very simply. Just share this story with a friend. Give us a rating or a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to right now. That would greatly help us and allow more people to hear stories of hope. Don't forget that this Monday, we have our first Monday freebie, which people are really enjoying. And so we will talk to you on Monday. Bye.
Bye.